Now, President Trump took to Twitter yesterday to renew his frequent claims that the November election will see a lot of fraud because of mail-in voting. And he floated the idea of delaying the November election until people can, quote, properly, securely, and safely vote. The power to delay an election lies with Congress, and both Democrats and Republicans were quick to dismiss that idea. But President Trump hasn't said he'll accept the results of the election if he loses. That's raised some questions about what happens should the November results come into question. Edward Foley is the Ebersold Chair in Constitutional Law at The Ohio State University and director of the school's election law program. His books include Presidential Elections and Majority Rule and Ballot Battles, the History of Disputed Elections in the United States. Ned, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, good to be with you, Rob. Thank you.
Let's start with this notion for the president of delaying the election because of concerns over mail-in vote fraud. What would it actually take to officially delay a U.S. presidential election?
Well, as you said, Congress has the power to choose the date for the elections, and it's unlikely that Congress is going to do that. They've already said no, as you mentioned. And the most important thing to think about is the Constitution, which has a hard stop in terms of the end of the current presidential term, that the term ends at noon on January 20th, no matter what. So if there's not a lot of time, right? I mean, if you even theoretically delayed a month, you still have to make sure that you can count all the votes and be ready so that the new president can take office on January 20th or the second term if President Trump were reelected. But his first term ends no matter what at noon on January 20th.
We saw in states around the country during the pandemic, some states postponed their primary elections in the presidential race. Here in Wisconsin, our governor tried to postpone the primary and a state election that included a state Supreme Court justice that was ultimately rejected. Is there a difference from a legal standpoint between those decisions and a president delaying a presidential election or calling for the delay of a presidential election?
Yes, absolutely. Primaries are, funnily enough, very complicated creatures because they're both the way the parties choose their nominees. And of course, for a presidential election, that's complicated because you've got all the different states feeding into the national conventions. So primaries are a hybrid creature of both internal party law and then the state law for each primary. The general election in November is different. And of course, The November general election is both the presidential election and the congressional election by federal law. So as much as the presidential term comes to an end at noon on January 20th, the congressional terms all end on January 3rd. So America needs a new Congress as well as a presidential election. So the idea of delaying or postponing the November 3rd election just doesn't make sense from an election law perspective once you focus on it.
Talking to law professor Ned Foley from The Ohio State University, talking about President Trump's suggestion that the November election should be delayed, concerns of mail-in vote fraud, and the speed at which the election results get tallied. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen to President Trump talking about some of these issues yesterday at a press conference. Here's a listen.
I don't want to delay. I want to have the election. But I also don't want to have to wait for 3 months and then find out that the ballots are all missing and the election doesn't mean anything. That's what's going to happen, Steve. That's common sense. And everyone knows it. Smart people know it. Stupid people may not know it. And some people don't want to talk about it, but they know it.
And the president had said elsewhere he wants results on election night. Now, we often think we have results. We call presidential elections on election night. We don't really have results on election night till they're certified, often weeks later, right?
That's absolutely correct. Anything on election night is unofficial. And as you say, when the networks or the Associated Press call a race, that's really a projection on their part to try to help their audience about what they think is going to happen. But the actual election results, as you say, are certified by government officials, and that takes time in every year. It often is just a formality in the sense that the certification confirms what the networks predict will be the result on election night, but it's not official until that certification happens.
And there's been a lot of talk. I keep talking to political experts who say this year, with more people mailing in ballots, we in the media and the public at large should be ready for the concept that we might not know who won the presidential election or Senate elections or whatever on, you know, by the end of Tuesday. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's definitely true. I think it's quite likely that there won't be the possibility of unofficial projected results on election night. And the reason for that, as you say, is that this year there's every expectation that the number of vote by mail ballots will be far larger than in the past because of the pandemic and because of rules, appropriate rules associated with the counting of a vote by mail. It takes longer. Now, there may be ways to change the law to try to speed that up some, which could be advantageous, but even with some adjustment in the counting process, it's reasonable to expect that there will be a delay. I don't like to think of it as delay because, again, it's just the normal process of the official results happening that would happen anyway. The only thing that's delayed is the unofficial expectation that you know what the answer is going to be.
Now, the president in that clip used the 3-month figure there, and that's what some people see as a nightmare scenario. The loser of the election not accepting results, challenging mail-in ballots, lawsuits in one state and another state that have key electoral votes. Do you worry about a worst-case scenario, I guess, if that is a worst-case scenario?
I do worry that uncertainty could metastasize, if you will, into disputes that just spin out of control. I hope that doesn't happen. It doesn't need to happen. Uncertainty isn't automatically a disaster. America has had presidential elections in the past where the winner has not been known for a couple of weeks. But at the end of 2 weeks, in the two cases that I'm thinking about, both sides agreed as to what the result was. It just took a while to pin it down. That's a good result, even if it's a delayed result. So we may, again, have a 2-week delay. It doesn't have to end in a problem. Where things get more problematic from my perspective is if the two sides keep fighting on and they go to court and they refuse to accept defeat. And there are ways in which that kind of scenario could get ugly. And I could walk you through the mechanics of how you could move from November 3rd to the meeting of the electors on December 14th, to the meeting of Congress on January 6th, and then Inauguration Day, January 20th. Those are the kind of main pivot points. And we could imagine a process unfolding where it remains disputed sort of every step of the way.
We're talking to Ned Foley right now, chair in constitutional law at The Ohio State University, about President Trump's claims of potential mail-in voter fraud and his suggestion that the November election should be delayed, and what happens if election results end up being disputed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about some or all of those things I just listed? What questions do you have about what happens if a candidate chooses not to accept an election's result? Do you share the president's concerns about the accuracy of an election where more people are likely to be voting by mail? And what do you think of this notion, the suggestion of delaying Election Day? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Ned Foley, chair in constitutional law at The Ohio State University, author of books including Presidential Elections and Majority Rule, talking about President Trump floating the idea of delaying the November elections. Doesn't seem likely to happen. Also, questions the president is raising about the reliability of mail-in voting, wanting election results on election night. You can join in with your thoughts, reactions, and questions at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the president, raising the idea of delaying the election? Do you worry about mail-in ballots? Are you worried about a long wait for election results, or are you okay not knowing when you go to bed Tuesday night, Election Day, who the next president or senator or congressperson is going to be? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Now, let's talk about the mail-in ballot question. The president saying again and again he thinks that a wider access to mail-in ballots will lead to widespread fraud. What do you think?
There's just no evidence for that. And the important thing, I think, to note is that every state, including Wisconsin, has procedures to verify the validity of absentee ballots. They don't automatically get counted just when they arrive. And you may be reading about rejection rates. Sometimes they're too high, but the important thing to realize there is that there's signature matching that has to happen. And so we have procedures to assure that the ballots are valid ballots, and therefore to challenge the result requires evidence to say, here's a ballot that shouldn't count. If there's evidence as to why a particular ballot shouldn't count, the system is prepared to receive that evidence. But running elections means being willing to accept the result if you use the process for determining the result.
I wanted to ask about the role of state legislatures when it comes to certifying the outcome in a respective state. And obviously, there's a partisan lean to any given state legislature. What is their role?
Yeah, this can get a little bit complicated. I'm happy to try to unpack it. And it may actually be useful to go back to that disputed election of 2000, Bush versus Gore in Florida, because there the legislature in Florida was thinking about asserting a constitutional power to appoint electors directly when the legislature was starting to think that the system had gotten so mired down into the hanging chads and all of the issues that were in litigation there that it was unknown what the popular vote was. And the legislature said, well, if we can't determine the will of the voters, we're just going to appoint electors ourselves. They didn't end up doing that because after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against Vice President Al Gore, he accepted defeat, and the legislature said, well, we don't need to do anything. But that example shows that at least there's a theoretical possibility that you could have a similar fight, in any of the battleground states this year. And what that would look like, I think, again, it's hypothetical at this point, but you'd have the normal processes of government achieving an answer as to who won the popular vote using the mechanisms that law has of the counting process and a recount if necessary. And so say there's that certified result. In theory, if the legislature didn't like it, it could try to repudiate it by saying we're going to appoint electors ourselves, the way the Florida legislature thought about doing. That would be contested. I think it would likely go to court. I think there would be strong arguments that the legislature doesn't have that power unless there's a genuine situation where there's been a failure to determine what the will of the voters themselves are. And even that would be complicated. So I think it would be unbelievably messy. And it would remind, and none of us were alive back in 1876, but if we dust off the history books, we know that the most disputed election in American history was Hayes versus Tilden that year, 1876. And that was a situation where in several states, there was such a fight that Congress received conflicting submissions from each of several states. And that is a very precarious posture. I hope nothing like that develops, but our legal system, at least as a matter of theory, makes that a possibility.
Now, some have read the president's remarks about mail-in voting fraud as an attempt to, I guess, cast doubt on the outcome should he lose in the election. Does that concern you if that's the case?
Well, I think that does lead to what is the most important point. We hold elections to determine the will of the voters, right? The Declaration of Independence talks about government deriving its just powers from the consent of the governed, right? Elections belong to the people to determine the will of the people. It belongs to all of us as we the people, those first three words of the Constitution. So the question is an election successful in doing that? Again, except for Florida 2000, we almost always say we can achieve an answer that is a valid answer because it's what the people want. Now, the other truth about elections is both sides can't win, right? Every election has a winner and a loser. And the system only works if there can be common ground as to what that answer is, whether your side wins this time or not. It's taking turns, right? Sometimes my side wins, sometimes your side wins. The system allows for taking turns. If you can't accept defeat, you can't really run an electoral process. So there's every, you have to start with the presumption that the certified result is a valid result, unless you have some reason to reject it. And so the question will be in November, when there is a result, will it be accepted? Again, the presumption should be, yes, of course it's to be accepted, because we held an election so the voters could tell us what they want, right? The elections aren't for the politicians, it's for the voters. It would only be a strange anomaly if the legislature decided, well, we're just going to repudiate the result because we don't like it. That would defeat the whole purpose of the election.
In just our last minute or so, what do you have your eye on between now and November when it comes to pulling off that kind of successful election?
Well, I do think there's going to be challenges because of the virus and their capacity issues. In Wisconsin, you saw this back in April, right? It's essential both to make sure that every voter who requests a vote by mail ballot gets it. That means the voters, if they want one, should apply early and not wait to the last minute. And then we have to avoid the kind of long lines that many of your listeners will have images of in Milwaukee in particular. We saw these pictures of people waiting for hours. Both those are capacity issues. Every voter who's eligible should have an adequate opportunity to vote. And that's going to be a challenge this year because of the virus. I mean, I hope we pull it off and that there's no risk of disenfranchisement. If we have problems, we have to ask, are the problems big enough to really affect the outcome? If there's some problems, but they're not large enough that we can still trust the result, then the election will have served its essential purpose to give us a winner who takes office because the voters wanted that person to win.
Ned, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Edward Foley is chair in constitutional law at The Ohio State University. He joined us to look at President Trump's suggestion of delaying the November election and what would happen if the loser of the election challenged the ultimate results.